All right, back on the Young Turks. Here's my favorite tweet of the day. By Adrian Bell. Pretty cool to be watching Cenk and TYT Politics, and he shouts out my race. Hashtag Liberty Bell. Hashtag Flip Texas 14.
Nice. She was one of the early victories.
That's right.
One of the first nights. Yeah.
Here we are, almost on the last night, and that was literally the first night.
Yeah, she stepped in, right?
That night. Texas has two rounds.
Yeah.
And so that's why Brianna Westbrook was the very first night, because that was actually a special election primary. And then it was Texas and the Liberty Bell, et cetera. So Adrian Bell's a great, great candidate. Please go check out her website. You can see all of the Just Democrats at justdemocrats.com/candidates. And we do have candidates watching live from time to time. Brianna watches from time to time. Brent Welder tweeted out in the middle of an old school, about an old school episode the other night.
Bernie's probably watching right now.
No, but I mean,
maybe
at some point, you know. So
can you imagine if, and by the way, I don't want this to happen. We go 2 years in the future, Bernie Sanders runs, wins, elected president, he comes in, and then we find out what he does in office is he spends all night just watching and live tweeting our shows.
What do you mean you don't want that to happen? That sounds like a whisper of a dream.
No, go do stuff. Do stuff.
And then he just tweets like whatever John Iadarola says. He's like, Iadarola said on Young on Damage Report.
That would be awesome. But if I was a Republican and I finally got my man, my defender, he's got my back, he's in the White House, all he does is watch TV all day long. He could be doing stuff. He could be walking through the DOD. He could be like looking at old records and revealing secrets, and he could do all that stuff. Instead, he's watching Steve Doocy. That is, that's a disappointment, man.
But to be fair, Bernie doesn't have to just be watching TV, or I should say President Sanders in your scenario. Ooh, that sounded good. He could have the TYT app.
And that's true.
And
TYT.com/app.
Will the TYT app ever be used in the Situation Room?
I mean, look, Bernie's a little bit older, so we don't know for sure how much he uses this app, but it's possible that Vice President Ocasio-Cortez could show him something on the app, maybe. That would be cool, too.
Okay, by the way, if you're one of those candidates and you're watching, bless your heart, we love that, and we're sticking up for you, obviously. I don't know, tweet in and we'll mention you.
No, we
do. Send in your website.
No,
okay,
we do.
I'm not saying anything, I'm just saying. Okay, Beto. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know that he watches.
No,
although he was on the show.
Many times, Beto's been on at least twice, maybe three times. So bless his heart on that. Okay, it's funny because just as we were mentioning it, but right before we mentioned it, Eric Rooney 14 wrote in, do you think there's any chance Bernie Sanders won't run in 2020? Everyone in progressive circles talks like it's certain. If not, who would be the best alternative? So there's a reason, Eric, why people talk that way, because he's doing everything that a candidate who would run would do. Comes out with a book right before 2019 begins. He's been all over Iowa and New Hampshire. On the other hand, Bernie loves to push the message no matter what.
Yeah.
So that's, if anyone was going to use it as an opportunity to push his message, but not himself, it would be Bernie, right?
Well, we're going to get that book the day after Election Day. It should be pretty clear, I would imagine,
yeah,
in the book.
Yeah. So it would be very surprising, but you never know. You never know.
Can I just say our audience is awesome, and Thomas Christ and Old Turk sent me two tweets. Direct me to a page that had a little bit more sort of a granular breakdown in particular areas, and they pointed out that Providence is only 83% in, and in Providence, I looked up the updated numbers, Regenberg is up by 5 points there.
I told you!
So he could catch up a few thousand in Providence alone.
He could catch a hot wiener there.
I still don't think it's necessarily going to happen, but.
Okay.
But we'll see.
I got what I'm doing there. Hold! Okay, so to finish answering your question, Eric, if not, who would be the best alternative? Well, look, they'll have to have a race, right? And we'll have to hear them in the debates. We'll have to hear their ideas. So it's a little early for that. But based on their record as things stand today, Elizabeth Warren is very, very progressive. I've mentioned this a couple times. I know I'm among the few, if not the only one, but I think it's real, and I think it certainly could be real if Bernie didn't run. Nina Turner, she's head of our revolution. She mm-hmm. is deeply progressive. She's a fighter. She's strong, and absolutely dynamic speaker, which helps. I've mentioned that name in Washington sometimes to Snickers. Like, I went to a Snickers bar and I said, Nina Turner. It's like, oh, okay. Okay, no, when I say Nina Turner, Washington reporters like,
oh, I didn't know. They snicker. I had no idea what you were talking about. Okay, there.
I could tell.
From I was like, is that like White House's nickname? I don't know. Like,
to my pet dog Snickers, I mentioned this and he was like, huh?
It's like Chris Christie's not even elected office anymore. I don't understand.
Okay, so, but we'll have to see. We'll have to see. By the way, we haven't mentioned your shirt at all. Stranger Times, one Stranger of my Times. Favorite shirts.
And a great show.
ShopTYT.com. Mm-hmm. Instead of Stranger Things, Stranger Times.
We
the
live
White
in
House.
The upside down.
In the upside, it makes a it lot
makes
of sense.
Perfect sense.
Yeah. Makes sense. ShopTYT.com. Mm-hmm.
We have our finger on the pulse of the nation, which runs under this.
It's in fact in the upside down. Okay, although this now has a bad connotation, because this is like Matt Lauer, like
yeah, okay. We don't have a button like that.
No, just we do not. Nowhere near it. Emily Evans writes in the member chat. Progressive campaign ads are on a different level than corporate campaign ads. Well, Emily, that's why during the break we're showing you those ads not as ads, but as an example of what progressive campaign ads look like. You're used to the corporate campaign ads from both sides. So I think it's kind of refreshing. So I wanted to give you that perspective instead of showing, just a banner. We wanted to give you guys a little bit of content and give you a sense of the ads that are being run in different parts of the country.
Yeah.
So if you don't live in New York, you might have never seen a Cynthia Nixon ad or a Zephyr Teachout ad.
Yeah.
So that's why we wanted to show you.
I mean, I think the internet, which obviously has done a lot of good things, although it's generally evil, is the ability to see ads from other places is one of the best, I think, things politically that it's done.
By the way, I don't agree. I think the internet is generally good, lawfully good.
I like some things. In terms of communication, I'm not sure that we need to talk as much as we do as a people.
I don't know if you know what we're doing right here.
No,
we're communicating on the internet.
I think the world would be better off if I stopped talking as much.
Well,
no, like random anonymous conversation has some strikes against it, I think.
Yes.
I saw someone, I tweeted something and viewers tweeted, responded to it. And then a political troll tweeted to them and someone started arguing with him. But when I say that he's a political troll, I don't mean that like I'm looking at his behavior and I'm saying he's a political troll. His Twitter handle was PoliticalTroll5. Don't argue with PoliticalTroll5. That is a losing battle. It's a battle you cannot win.
There's a guy on Twitter the other day who was criticizing me. There's a first for everything. The first billion. Anyway, he was pretending not to be a conservative. But even though I'm not a conservative, I'm still aggrieved by Cenk, right? Mm-hmm. His handle was Kurt Waldheim Jr. I don't know if you remember him. Kurt Waldheim was a former Nazi who was discovered in Vienna, and he was a politician. And then they realized, oh my God, this guy used to be a Nazi. Okay, that's his Twitter handle, and he's pretending to be a progressive. Mm-hmm. You're disguise is not as good as you think it is, although it is wonderfully ironic because Waldheim was famous for getting discovered. Mm-hmm. So if you're trying to do subterfuge, making Waldheim your Twitter handle, probably not the best way to go. Well. Man, that's meta.
And Steve King would respond to that saying, they're just throwing Nazi around. I don't know if you saw his tweet today.
Oh, I didn't. But
he retweeted another white nationalist and then was mad that people thought that that's inappropriate.
Yeah. Next thing you know, they're going to call Goering a Nazi.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was like, well, did you know the Nazis were socialists and the leftists are socialists? Checkmate.
Like, if you've ever made that comment, which I hope to God none of you have in the audience, please retire from life. Oh, well, they were the National Socialists. I don't think it means what you think it means.
No.
Okay. Alex Kahn is the person I wanted to give credit to because he asked, does Cynthia Nixon have any chance tomorrow? We answered that question already, but Alex, thank you for using YouTube Super Chat. Back to Twitter, Emily Tessier writes in, thank you for covering my little state's primary. We need progressive candidates like Matt Brown for Gov and Aaron Regenberg, and I hope they continue to fight for Rhode Island no matter what the outcomes. Hashtag just Democrats. Hear, hear, Emily. Thank you. We appreciate it. Danger Carlos Danger with a suggestion. If Bernie doesn't run, President Tulsi Gabbard, anyone? Interesting. Interesting. Definitely a fruitful, productive suggestion. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, she's got a lot of issues.
Jeff Waldorf, of TYT Nation fame. Jeff writes in, I never miss TYT's live election coverage, whether I'm in the car or playing World of Warcraft. Thanks, Jink and John. Right back at you, brother. Okay. I was going to tell you, but don't be careful. Don't TYT and drive. Yeah. But you can. You can actually put it on the app. Just put it down. Just don't look. Just listen. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here we go. Hashtag free press screen. Another one. Nina would be fantastic. Last year at the People's Summit, her Sunday morning talk was way better than any amount of coffee. Talk about someone who would get people excited to vote.
Oh, by the way, so I know I promote the Damage Report all the time. My interview with her, she is so inspirational. Watch, go to youtube.com/thedamagereport, search Nina Turner. She will get you fired up for this election. She like reinvigorated me like a monster, basically.
Yeah.
The energy drink, not a scary monster.
Oh, okay.
Although for your health, monsters should also be scary, I hear. And I drink a lot of them.
So, look, I've told this story a couple of times, but that speech that you're referring to, it actually might have been the year before the People's Summit. I was just blown away by her, man. When she walked into the audience, I was like, whoa, what is this? Nobody does that. She walked away from the cameras and into the audience, and she did so many wonderful things in that speech. But my favorite moment was when she said, you know, if I say this, if I say that, they'll call me an angry black woman. Pause. You're right. I am angry. I was like, that's my girl. Okay, I love it.
She actually said that on the Damage Report.
See, I know.
This is 2017. I'm gonna watch that speech.
You should. No, go on the internets. It's actually good for communication. And watch Nina's speech at the People's Summit. The whole thing was fantastic. Okay, where are we at, John?
We have not gotten a new precinct in some time.
Damn it! I really want to be here for you guys, but sometimes these drag on for like 3.5 hours.
The last bit can be very long.
Yeah, so I'll read a couple more comments, I'll tell you a couple more JD races, and then we'll see if we wrap up, okay? Mm-hmm. And by the way, we'll keep it going in the post game. Obviously, if results come in the post game, we'll let you know. But hold, we're not done yet.
Let's see how it goes. But that's not fair. They can't watch that unless they're a member. And how could they possibly become a member?
Oh, right, tyt.com/join.
Oh, they could do that in time to watch the post game.
Wait, I forgot to check in on the thermometer. Can we get a new thermometer? They always do this head fake, right? It's a head fake, right? Thank you.
Oh, right. We wanted 50, okay. Right?
Yeah, we wanted 50.
Hey, okay. Welcome to TYT.
Okay, can I see 800?
He's never satisfied.
Okay. Ruth M. writes in on the members' comments, I wonder what Trump's approval rating would be if they did a real poll that included all voters, including independents. Ruth, to be fair, a lot of those polls do include independents. You know, some of the, a lot of the polling varies and their methodology varies. So Rasmussen always overpolls towards the conservatives. Yep. So that's why every once in a while the other polls will be at 36 for Trump and Rasmussen will come in at 45. And Trump will be like, the highest polling ever for a president under 50%. It's amazing, amazing, wonderful. The whole country loves me. 45 equals 95. Okay, so but it's not true. But in these polls, I think that they are relatively accurate. But I don't, the New York one that we talked about earlier, the Cynthia Nixon one, I have no idea how accurate it is.
Yeah. Okay. Really hard to say.
Let me just give you a couple of go over a couple of JDs here, and then I think we're gonna wrap up. As I've told you probably now about 78 times, A lot of Just Democrats have already won their primaries, 26 overall, and seven are very likely to win their general election and be in the House. So there's the three incumbents, Ro Khanna, Raul Grijalva, and Pramila Jayapal, who introduced the Medicare for All PAC today, which I think is a genius idea, wonderful idea. Yeah. So now you're looking at some of those people who won their primaries, and we talked about the incumbents Grijalva and Ro Khanna on that list. We talked earlier about Kampa Najjar in the 50th. Sanjay Patel crushed in his race in Florida, unopposed. Ayanna Pressley with a great upset victory in Massachusetts. James Thompson, a wonderful candidate, was on a Friday Power panel with us recently in Kansas. Lisa Ring, a great victory in the primaries in Georgia, and that would be another great, great win. Stephanie Rose Spaulding in Colorado. A lot of these folks have been on Rebel headquarters. Please check out their interviews. I think you're going to love these candidates. And then Audrey Denny in California's 1st District. She's one of my favorites. She's got excellent attitude, energy, strength, and that's a tough race to win in the 1st District, but I think she could do it. Another big race that would be great for progressives is Ben Jealous winning the governor's race in Maryland. Yes. He had a tough primary that he won convincingly, but he's going up against a relatively popular Republican governor in Maryland, and so that would be a huge win and probably at this point considered an upset win. Then you got Michigan, Matt Morgan. Robert Davidson is a real fighter. He's a doctor, and he got so sick of the healthcare in this country and the debacle that it is that he decided that he's going to run for office and support Medicare for All. So you'll love his campaign. Rashida Tlaib is going to Congress, and so is Ilhan Omar. They won respectively in Michigan, Conyers' old seat, and in Minnesota, Keith Ellison's old seat. Those are very blue seats, so great to have two strong Muslim women headed to Congress. And Jamie Schoolcraft with a guy who got outspent, I think, if I remember correctly, 4-1 in his primary.
Yeah.
And beat his opponent with a stick. I think he might have beat him 2-1. So his opponent got Schoolcrafted. So don't sleep on Schoolcraft in Missouri's 7th District. Kara Eastman, one of the biggest primary upset victories of the season in Nebraska. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Never heard of her.
The biggest upset win in the primary season. I think earlier in the night, I might have accidentally said against Republican Joe Crowley. Of course, he was technically a Democrat. That was not intended, okay? And we don't have to beat up on Crowley anymore. He lost, obviously, and he was very gracious on the night of the loss. And then Jess King in Pennsylvania's 11th district, another strong progressive candidate. We're trying to see if we can cover more in the life of, in the day in the life of that Emma Vigeland does that she did for Ocasio-Cortez and Welder and some others. She went to do it for Zephyr Teachout. I hope we can get her to places like Jess's district in the 11th district of Pennsylvania. Let's keep going. Lori Birch in Texas, Vanessa Adia, Adrienne Bell, otherwise known as the Liberty Bell, Lindsey Fagan, all excellent progressives in Texas. Look at that, with the exception of Randy Bryce, look at those strong women that are roaring all over the map in yep. America, from Texas to Vermont to the state of Washington, right? And so those four in Texas were some of the earliest winners we had. A lot of them were upset victories. Winning in the heart of Texas would be fantastic. Christine Hultquist, another shocking victory in Vermont on the Democratic side for the governor's race. And now she stands an excellent chance of being the first transgender governor in the history of the country. So that would be amazing, fantastic. And Pramila Jayapal, incumbent who came out with the Medicare for All PAC today, a terrific idea. Sarah Smith with another upset victory. She it goes to the runoff, which is the top two in is how it works in Washington. So it's two Democrats in the general election. It's Smith versus Smith. Adam Smith's incumbent. Sarah Smith is the progressive Just Democrat challenger. People didn't expect her to beat the Republican to make the runoff, but she's been challenging people's expectations for a long, long time. So she's in that race and she's in it to win. And then the last guy, of course, was Randy Brice, Iron Stash. He's the guy who ran Paul Ryan out of Congress. Paul Ryan was afraid that he was going to lose that race. That was only a +5 a seat, which is in a blue wave likely to go to Democrats. And so Iron Stash might take the former Speaker of the House's seat. So now that is some progressive candidates for you. None of them take corporate PAC money. That's an uncorrupted blue wave. That's a crystal clear blue wave. And so even if half of them win, we got ourselves a caucus. Look, 7 are almost guaranteed right now. That's already a bit of a caucus.
Yeah.
So once you have a caucus that can make or break bills, that is power for real progressives. And now we're having a conversation. So that's what's on the line in November in the general election. And that's everything. So you've got these great Justice Democrats, and then you got great progressives like Beto O'Rourke in Texas and Andrew Gillum in Florida. Oof, beating Ted Cruz and DeSantis would be excellent. By the way, look, you got an incumbent like Bill Nelson, who I got no love for in Florida. But he's running against Rick Scott, one of the worst politicians in the country. Beating a guy like Rick Scott and Ted Cruz on the same night? Oof. I mean, that's a dream come true for progressives. Nice. And we're this close. Now we all got to push, especially for the uncorrupted candidates. You can find them at justdemocrats.com/candidates. They need your small dollar donations because they're not taking corporate money. They can't win without it. They need your volunteering more than anything else. Volunteers is exactly how these 26 won in the first place. So get out there and get in the fight. There's less than 2 months left. And also for those other great progressives that are backed by PCCC, Our Revolution, Working Families Party, Democracy for America, etc. So get in the fight, guys. And early November in 2018, we could have a glorious, glorious day for progressives.
And then in future election days, I mean, obviously it's great, you know, once they go there, start passing bills and all that. But then, I mean, it's going to feel like 3 days from now, we're going to be doing the next series of primaries. You're going to have a bunch of them going and campaigning for candidates, endorsing them, helping to organize money for them from, you know, regular people. It's going to be great. It's not going to be the same experience where it was almost entirely up, just facing down the machine with almost no one behind you. You've got like Bernie Sanders and maybe Elizabeth Warren for some of them, and that's about it. But now you're going to have, you know, an army with him, not just us and not just you guys in terms of the funding, but also coming with the ability to go on the media. Like some of them are going to be on CNN, MSNBC, actually spreading, I know this is crazy, but progressive ideas. And if they won't let them on there, we'll let them on our network every single day.
So we talk about the TYT army a decent amount, and that's a lot of you guys have done wonderful work on a lot of these campaigns, and just even participating in voting makes a giant difference, all the difference in the world. But what's cool is, so in the case of the Just Democrats, I guess that would be a justice army. And you guys are the justice army, but then you'd have a justice army inside the Congress. I'm picturing a call from a panic Republican, or maybe even a panic corporate Democrat, going, where's the call coming from? It's inside the building. It looks like we already got 7 inside the building. Is 19 more to go, right? So up and at them, up and at them. Let's get in the fight and let's make a difference. And by the way, if you make that difference, it'll be the best feeling you ever had.
That's true.
Fulfillment, it's a hell of a drug. So any further updates?
Hasn't moved.
God damn it. Okay, we're going to have to call it.
Sorry.
All right, guys, we will continue in the post game. We'll obviously look at it, see if there's any updates. And so this is also based on experience. Sometimes when it gets stuck with 9% left, it gets stuck for 3, 4, 5 hours, as long as a computer glitch takes in Johnson County. At the end of the night, I have no summary, because it's either going to be a mixed bag with Regenberg with an amazing comeback victory, and it's a split decision in Rhode Island, or None of the progressives won. So we don't quite know yet. But in the postgame, some fun topics, including John's drugs in Rhode Island, my story, and then that I promised you earlier. And then we'll check it on results as well.
Yep.
So members, we'll see you guys over there, tyt.com/join to become a member. And tomorrow, don't forget, not only normal show 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern, but then right afterwards, just like tonight, but it's New York. It's a heavyweight championship match in New York. Andrew Cuomo versus Cynthia Nixon, let alone Jumaane Williams
Zephyr
and Zephyr Teachout. Okay? So we'll see you guys there.